We are, of course, we're going to be having communion tonight, and of course, if you would open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it's important that in my personal opinion and spending time in prayer about this, it's important that when we have communion, that we dedicate a service to it like we're doing here tonight. And it's always important, even though that many of you know about the aspects of communion and what it is, but it's always important that we overview those things and kind of discuss those things so that when it comes to partaking of the Lord's table, we know exactly what we are doing. I remember growing up, communion was one of those things I didn't understand a whole lot about. Of course, I know some of that was to do with my age and maybe lack of interest therein. But I remember when I got saved and really got born again, and I was of the age then of understanding what communion was, it's always just had a special place in my heart. And even so more now that I've been pastoring, I never had led a communion service until I came here. So you see, every time I've led communion, it's been right here at this church. I've never done it in any other sanctuary or anything like that. It's just been right here. And I've grown to love it and reverence it even the more. And I know sometimes, I've traveled enough and preached in enough in several different churches where communion is practiced a little differently as far as how often some people do it. I've got some friends that do it every month. They dedicate a service to it every month, and there's nothing wrong with that, of course. It's something they've always practiced. Some do it every quarter. Some do it a couple times of year, a couple times throughout the year. And, the question may come up, how often do you need to do it? And that's, of course, left up to, I guess, a minister and a church and the leadership. But this is what I do believe. When we do partake of it, it is a sacred thing. I believe I think we do it two or three times a year. I know we do it around Easter. And it probably wouldn't hurt if we did it more often. But sometimes in prayer, when it comes to me, and of course I like Thanksgiving. I always think it has a special place right here at Thanksgiving because it is a time of thankfulness. Being that I've pretty much know these verses, I went through and just kind of refreshed my mind, just read over them several times. Even this afternoon, even though I've already studied and prepared for tonight's service, I sat there on my knees with my Bible open, just want to read through them fresh, kind of take in everything that it says right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I was reading this week about open and closed communion. I don't know if you ever heard that put that way, an open or closed communion. We practice open communion, which means if you're born again, we believe you can partake. Amen. Closed communion means that only members can partake or only specific denominations can partake. And the reason they do that is because in closed communion, they don't want anybody to partake unworthily. Well, that puts a lot of pressure on a preacher to try to figure out who's unworthy, not unworthy. Amen. And I know there may be some obvious situations in the world, but nevertheless, I believe here tonight, if your heart has been prepared, you're really born again and your heart's pure before the Lord, you can partake of the Lord's Supper. I want to look at this here tonight, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to start reading in verse 23, if you would, verse 23. And we're going to look there, we're going to read, I've got a little outline that I usually follow for this, one that's always stuck out to me. And we'll strive to follow that outline with the Lord's help here this evening. Amen. But tonight what we're going to do is we're going to, using the word look several times, what we're going to do tonight in these verses is we're going to look back, we're going to look ahead, we're going to look within, and then we're going to look around. I believe every communion, I try to follow this outline because I think it's a wonderful way of preparing our hearts for communion and helping us to understand it. Now, when it comes to communion, if you look there at verse 23, and we'll work our way through these verses, we're going to kind of look back first. We're going to look back. We'll read to verse 26. But I do want you to focus on the first part of verse 23, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Now, I want you to notice that. The Apostle Paul, as an apostle, he's received something from the Lord. Now, there's some different theories about what the Apostle Paul means by this. Is this a direct revelation to him? And I kind of tend to kind of believe that in some sense. I believe he might have had, of course, some knowledge about the Last Supper, we know, with Jesus and being around some of the other apostles. But there's some debate even about if 1 Corinthians was written before, maybe, and if any of the Gospels before. And if that was the case, this would be extremely unique. But notice there, something has been revealed revealed to him, shown to him. And we're going to find something in his writings, in the Apostle Paul's writings, that are different than what you will find in the Gospels. And of course, we're going to mention those here in a little bit. First, let's look back. Let's do that first, starting in verse 23. Once again, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, I want you to notice that the end of verse 23 talks about him being betrayed. But notice verse 24, even though he's being betrayed, what did he do? "And when he had given thanks." Now, think about that. When you get betrayed, first thing you don't often do is give thanks. But our Lord Savior is unique in that sense. He breaks this bread. He gives thanks. It says, and he break it in verse 24. And what did he say? He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do," what does it say? "In remembrance of me." Amen. "In remembrance of me." Isn't our memory a kind of a unique thing when you think about it, brothers and sisters? Do you have a memory tucked back there sometimes, and when you remember something, it's almost like it becomes fresh at that moment? And that's what we're doing here tonight. We're doing this in remembrance of the Lord. Now notice as he goes on to say there in verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." So first, we are looking back. We are looking back. What are we looking at? We are remembering the night of the Last Supper when Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he took the cup and he distributed it to the disciples. And why are we doing this? In remembrance of him. And I know you know that. But once again tonight, this is not a light thing that we are doing. This is not something we're doing just as a convenient add-on to a service to say that we have an ordinance. No, no, no. We're doing this in remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. Now we're going to look ahead, if you would, in verse 26, the latter part of that. We've just looked back. Now we're going to look ahead. Notice here what he says. "When you do this, you do show forth the Lord's death." How long will we do this? "Till he comes." So we see there that communion, or the Lord's table, has a beginning, which is at the Lord's Supper. And does anybody remember what they were celebrating at the Lord's Supper? They were celebrating the Passover. What did the Passover represent? It represented what took place for the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 12, the night the last plague killed the firstborn there in Egypt. And you know the story. They would take the blood of the lamb and apply it to the doorpost there, and there the firstborn would be spared. And so they had this Passover, something they celebrated every single year in remembrance of that. But we come to the New Testament, and we're looking at something greater than a lamb. We're looking at the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And he says, look, this had a beginning. Now we can look to Israel and see the convenience to the Passover for them in the book of Exodus. We can look at the Last Supper there, and we see the beginning for us as this ordinance is given, the Lord's table. And how long will we celebrate this? Till he comes. This is something we are to partake of and be a part of until he comes. Amen. He hadn't came yet, brothers and sisters, not the second time. He hadn't came yet. So we're going to continue to do this because it is important that we remember his sacrifice for us. Now, this brings us probably to the more immediate and important part of this this little outline here. And it comes right here because this has a very present application to us. We've got to look within. We've got to look within. And I had a little chance to do a little extra studying about this, looking within. And let's look at verses 27 through 28. And let's read all the way down to 32. I do apologize. I'm going to go back and make a few comments. And we will get through this, I promise. I won't tarry too long. Notice here what he says. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now, I want you to notice this real quick as we're looking within here tonight. What does the Apostle Paul mean by being guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is a severe accusation. That is something, I don't know about you, if it comes to being guilty of some things, don't let me be guilty of looking at the body of Jesus that was broken upon that tree, looking at that as if it was a light thing, as if it was something that was just just not that important. No, no, no. We are to come here tonight in the service, and it doesn't matter if you participated in 1,000 communion services. Doesn't matter if you've been going to church your whole entire life. Doesn't matter in the sits. It doesn't matter. You still need to approach the Lord's table with utmost reverence, because we here are standing before the cross, if you would, beholding the body of Jesus Christ and His blood and what He's done for us, and we do not want to partake of that unworthily. Now, we can ask a few different questions here. Brother Derek, you may ask, how can somebody partake of the Lord's table in an unworthy way? What are some different ways? And I've just got a few jotted down here this evening and some warnings to kind of give us here tonight. And number one, we can come unworthily when we make it just an empty ritual. When we come here and it's just about crackers and Welch's grape juice, we've missed the point. Now, once again, I remember when I was younger, you know, it didn't nearly mean as serious as it is right now. But if you are the age where your mind can comprehend the Lord's table, this is a sacred transaction. It's easy to come as a ritual without participating with our minds and hearts. This communion service is not something just to doze out during the service and kind of come back in when it's time to participate. No, no, no. There is a time of preparation. I like what one writer said about this. It's easy to go through the motions without having any emotion. What do you mean by that, Brother Derek? It means this, that it's easy just to go through the ritual without your heart really being attached to what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Another way that we can approach the Lord's table unworthily, in my opinion here, secondly, you would understand this a little bit if you've read about it before, if you believe that this imparts grace or saves you. Do you know there's some movements that believe that partaking of the Lord's table is actually consuming grace? That you're actually sanctifying yourself more because you're eating of the bread and drinking of the cup? No, 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 that's not what this is. This is a time of remembrance, a time of worship. It is a ceremony of worship to where we remember. This does not make you any more saved just by eating a cracker. Let me put it that way. Now, once again, we don't want to get to a place where we treat it too lightly, by no means, but also we don't want to redefine it and making it mean something that it really doesn't. We don't believe that this actually becomes the body of the Lord in our mouths. It's just strange stuff. We don't believe this actually becomes the blood of Jesus in our mouths. That's strange stuff. But what we do believe, that this is a time of worship, that when we partake of the bread and partake of the cup, we're saying, Lord, I remember what you have done for me. Thirdly, you can partake of the Lord's table unworthily if you come to the Lord's table with unconfessed sin in your heart. Now, this probably has more of the more present application what the Apostle Paul is writing about, because you would remember the Corinthian church is in a mess. And matter of fact, the patience that the Apostle Paul has with the Corinthian church, you know, there's two letters to the Corinthians. You got 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and history actually proves there was probably some other letters that just did not make the canon of Scripture. God didn't seem it necessary. But 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing because he's having to deal with some stuff. I mean, division and hatred and malice and bitterness towards one another and unconfessed sin. And even some of those, hear this, this is really in this application in chapter 11, what the Apostle Paul is dealing with, what they would have in the early church in this day, especially in Corinth, they would have what was called love feast. They would come together. It was like a potluck almost. And they would come together and they would eat. And usually they would finish and conclude that love feast with a time of communion. But what happened during that time in the love feast, you would have different ones that would come there. And you had some that had maybe more money and more status than somebody else. And they were neglecting their brothers and sisters. And we'll talk about that more in a second. But just want you to see, there was things going on in their hearts that needed to be dealt with. So the Apostle Paul, when he is dealing with this, he's letting them know, look, when you come to the Lord's table, and it just becomes a ritual, and it becomes something that something that it's not supposed to be. And if you come up here with unconfessed bitterness, hatred, or unforgiveness, or anything in your heart, or lust, or anything like that, and it's not repented of, if a believer comes with anything less than the loftiest thoughts of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and anything less than a total love for his brothers and his sisters in Christ, then you come to the table unworthy. You ought to be able to love everybody that's in this room and mean it from your heart and wish the best for them in every area of their lives. So to come unworthily, another illustration here is kind of interesting in my opinion. One writer put it this way, to come unworthily to the Lord's table is to become guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And the illustration that he would use is this, to trample on our country's flag is not to dishonor a piece of cloth, but to dishonor the country that it represents. So tonight up here, we're not talking about you disrespecting the bread and the cup so much, but you're disrespecting what it represents. That's what you would be disrespecting. Once again, I realize that what we have up here is juice and crackers. I know that. But what it is representing to us is the remembrance of the body and the blood of Jesus. So to come up here, just like if somebody was to trample a flag, we don't get mad at them for stepping on a certain type of material or a certain type of cloth. No, no. What that flag represents. So once again, when you come up here, this represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's what the Bible tells us we should examine ourselves. Now, interesting here, I'll make a quick reference to this real quick, because in verse 29 it says this, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, because he talks there and goes on to say in verse 32 about the chastisement of the Lord. I'm a firm believer in this, that for men and women to treat the Lord's table with just disdain or even disrespect and not really discerning what's going on here and have things in their heart and almost kind of like this, like, oh, I don't matter, whatever. Okay, just go on, Brother Derek, get to it by now. I'm telling you right now, you can drink damnation to yourself. God will chastise you. And I'll put it this way. I'm glad God chastises us. Been several seasons of my life that God's got on me about a few things. But notice here, the ones in Corinth, some of them were even sick in body because they were mishandling the things of God. I want you to think about that. The Lord can even chastise you more than just... I'd rather have God chastise you and me physically first than condemn me spiritually. You understand that? God, do what you got to do to get my attention. Take away some comforts. Hedge me about with thorns, O Lord. Don't let me go my own way. Don't let me disrespect the Lord's body. And I'm not going to get into these verses here tonight, but if you go into the book of Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 8. I know it's in chapter 10. It talks about those that apostatize, those that walk away from the things of God. It says they crucify the Lord fresh and anew. They trample underneath their feet the very body of Christ. And I don't believe anybody would be here tonight. So, Brother Derek, I would trample on the blood of Jesus Christ, but don't treat the Lord's table as a light thing. So notice there, that's what it talks about, that for if we would judge ourselves, let me put it this way, it's better to humble yourself than have God humble you. It is better to humble yourself. If God has to break you down or break me down, He has ways of doing that. He doesn't lack ideas. He didn't lack the ability. Matter of fact, if God wanted to, He knows just the crutch to pull out from you that you would fall. He knows where to go. And when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, and I want you to pray this with me tonight, as we're going to pray here in a little bit, but we're asking God, Lord, keep me, Lord, and protect me, and show me my blind spots. God, search my heart, Holy Ghost. I don't want to come before the Lord's table unworthily. I don't want to do that. But also tonight, let me say this, because I know dealing with that and the chastisement of the Lord, you know, I'm not trying to scare anybody off from the Lord's table. I want to let you know you can get things right with the Lord. It's not complicated. If you from a pure heart say, Lord, I apologize, Lord, I repent. I'm examining myself. I want you, Lord, to deal with me. And God, if there's some things I need to get correct, I'll do that. God, but search my heart. I don't want you to come up here feeling condemned. We don't want that. We want you to settle something in your heart even here tonight. Amen. That's an important thing to do. So that's looking within. Let's look at verse 33 through 34. This is looking around. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. What the Apostle Paul is saying here, I've already mentioned the context of this a little bit. You had some there in the Corinthian church that were mishandling things. Those that were across the aisle, so to speak. You know, they had the status in the church, or they were mistreating a brother or sister. He says, look, I want you to look around. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're born again, everything's level at the foot of the cross. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a lawyer. If you're a janitor and you're standing beside a doctor, guess what? You're just as tall at the cross as anybody else. Once again, we want to look back. We want to look ahead. We're doing this till He comes. We want to look within. And then we want to look around. These are the things that prepare us for the Lord's table. Stand to your feet if you would. I want my wife to come to the piano. Amen. As we went over these verses here tonight, this is probably the more detailed section about the Lord's table and the Bible. And as we do every communion service, if you've never been here during communion, I'll explain it to you how we do this. We come to the front and we gather starting at the first pew, and then we go every other pew. The reason doing that is so that the deacons can get between the pews and serve the sacraments to us. So if we can do that right now, if you would, start in the front pew and let's go every other pew until everybody's able to get close enough, and then we'll partake of the Lord's table and we'll enjoy this time together. Amen.